XM At The Races with Steve Bick. At The Races. On At The Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At The Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at the website as well, stevebick.com. And the Monday action yesterday after we got off the air, some aqueduct and a lot of news, and tuned into the sale a little bit, and little bit of everything, and that's what we're gonna do this morning too. I've got I've got an eclectic morning. Some of the proverbial ripped from today's headlines kind of conversations, and some more recapping of the weekend. In fact, Peter Ertin is going to join us in about 20, and obviously. With Peter's visit, I think with the dust settling on the weekend, I think everybody, you know, is kind of acknowledging that Dream Shake's performance is the one that's got people, you know, particularly excited and interested. And so now it's been, you know, it'll be 48 hours since the performance, and maybe Peter's got a little bit more of an idea of the next steps with this twirling candy colt, and we'll get some backstory as well. And you know, this was not the only terrific performer for Ertin either. Got to ask him about Lady Mystify. The Bernardini going back to Friday. I think that somehow got lost in translation, as they say. So I want to ask him about, and I still have to pull up. I didn't print the chart of that from Friday, but if you didn't see it, you need to see the replay where she, you know, a little bit sort of like what we saw on Sunday. This was, this was a situation where there was a short priced favorite, Donna Bella, in this case. This was a maiden race as well, and going a mile. This Lady Mystify, she was like a freight train. I know, you know, the race didn't come back super fast, but she won by 18 lengths. it's crazy. I mean, just just as Jay says, went to the front and improved her position with Flavian Pratt, and as it happens, this is also X Line Border and partners. So, you know, very quietly, I mean, I didn't see nearly the chatter. I mean, with everybody, you know, keeping track of Bezos's debut, and I would not, wouldn't be, you know, just throwing in the towel either on Bezos. 96 buyer, the figure, you know, I saw the race that had been run as the first, and saw that the horses in that group, that claiming group, had been running, you know, 60s. The winner, came off of a win, maiden win as well. And 68 had run a 68 buyer. And so when you looked at the two times of the races, you know, there were 2 seconds between the races, it did project that Dream Shake, you know, had run 23, 24 points better at the least than that winner of the opener. And so that, you know, if you assume that the winner had come back and run another 68, that puts you 92, 93. And when, you know, adding in all the final elements, you know, when you look at a beaten lengths, you know, the equivalents on the buyer chart, 96, which I'm going to guess, and Peter's certainly had his share of nice horses, that's got to be the biggest debut of any that he has sent out in his career. We'll find out. We'll talk more and get some of the details. And in fact, I'm just looking now. That is the same exact group, the same set of partners, X-Line, Border, SAF Racing, and Richard Houseman. So they had a very nice Friday, Sunday when you put these two winners together, Lady Mystify, who had run before. But looking forward, always enjoy conversation with Peter Ertin. The sale, and you know, as I said, ripped from today's headlines, and the results yesterday, first of the two as the Horses of Racing Age sale, the mixed sale season draws to a close today, and you had about $4 million worth of horse flesh change hands yesterday, 207 head. And, you know, Boyd quoted as saying that they thought that the results were very encouraging. He said very fair prices, consistent, you know, no real surprises on the top end or the bottom end. The leading knockdowns, how about Shippy, the four-year-old midshipman filly, sold as a racing or broodmare prospect, $130,000. To the Violas, to St. Elias. TaylorMade put her through, and you had another four-year-old go through a filly, the American Dream, that American Pharaoh, out of the King Mambo Mare, Dancing Alone. Board Shorts Stables, $105,000. Shippy was $130,000. And Paquette, the five-year-old Cairo Prince, went to Peachtree Racing for $100,000. And she is being sold as a race or broodmare prospect. And then on the short yearling side, Spitestown, who can't go wrong, Spitestown, $165,000. Stuart Morris offering a High Clare bred colt. Calumet swung into action, and $165,000. And then the top filly seller, bred by University of Kentucky. You know I'm a sucker for these collegiate school, you know, the vet schools and the agriculture programs when they breed horses. A filly bred by the University of Kentucky by McLean's Music. And, of course, last week I had that terrific hour with John Sikora. $92,000 for that filly, and Shearwater Stables taking this one home. And you had a Connect filly for $78,000. David Ranson bought. So those were your top sellers. And today, more of everything, and it includes the sale of Ladies Island. And Rich Averill is going to visit. Reached out to Rich and to Paul Matisse as their hard-hitting mare, who's been just really when you get into the game, the kind of horse you're hoping for, that either you claim or you buy and develop and race. And she's going to go through the ring. And, you know, she could easily, you know, continue on this for the year, or depending on who's interested. So we're going to ask Rich about the decision-making process, about You know, why didn't, you know, why not keep her and breed her yourself? You know, a lot of times if you're, you know, racing stable, you're not that keen. I mean, I can tell you that, you know, just even in our little group where, you know, some of the partners just, you know, they want the action in the afternoon and don't really have, you know, either the personality for or the interest really in kind of rolling the dice and waiting out the development of a baby. And as we've certainly experienced, there's also, you know, there's frustration, and then there's also despair, because you lose them too. It's a perilous undertaking. So we're going to ask Rich about his thoughts as Ladies Island, and she's going to be, I think, you know, fairly late in the afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. Based on her position in the catalog, 524, 18 wins and 35 career starts. So if she goes into a breeding program, she'll retire having won more than she lost. And she is fairly late. There's the last hip is 580. And in fact, Skip Shot. I hadn't even noticed this. Is the last horse scheduled to go through the ring. I didn't check the outs this morning. There's quite a few. Quite a few that should be interesting today. Some horses that, you know, have made one or two starts and that kind of thing. And then there's a horse like Ladies Island. So Rich Averill will join us. When I say, you know, today's headlines, well, one of the headlines yesterday, if you may have seen this, and it's a topic we have not visited in quite a while, but Diana Pikulski wrote a piece for TDN that detailed the bill that passed the New York State Senate and is expected to go through the Assembly. And it provides a backdrop for a discussion on slaughter. And you know, we've been monitoring this for years and years and years. I mean, you go back to conversations with Glennie Kane Oakford, to the end of the aughts, 2007-08, give or take, when there was, you know, some of the, you know, the really pointed, you know, period where, you know, horses were more or less pouring over the border to, you know, the abattoir in Quebec and you know, into Mexico as well. And, you know, that was a period that really got this discussion in focus, and you know, efforts have been on an ongoing basis been made to, you know, turn off the pipelines, and there's been a lot of success on this front. And I, you know, I've discussed this, and we'll bring it up with Diana. She's going to join us at 10, and we're going to be joined by Chris Hyde as well. And Chris is D.C.-based and is one of the driving forces, if not the driving force, behind the SAFE Act. And we'll get an update on where things stand federally. And, you know, this is a topic and a bill, the SAFE Act, that you would think, I mean, given how the HISA, you know, was tacked on to an omnibus bill, for years, the SAFE Act, you know, there have been discussions, oh, it's going to be tacked on to, you know, this spending bill. And yet it's just languished. So going to spend time with Diana Pikulski and Chris Hyde in the second hour and get an update on this topic. And there, you know, there's been different manners. You know, there's been attempts and successful attempts to make it illegal to transport horses for slaughter. There's been the work that shut off the funding to the USDA so that plants can't inspect horses and horse meat, and that was a successful venture. There's been some elements toward this that have gone well, and there's people, when I tell you people that are literally, it's becoming their life's work to ensure that slaughter in North America becomes a thing of the past. And then, of course, you're also having to work against certain interests, primarily in the West, that are all for it. The quote unquote cattlemen that have been trying to reopen slaughterhouses. I mean, it's a tough topic, but it's certainly worth a visit, because we haven't had this discussion in a while. And when I saw this headline, I reached right out to Diana. Plus, it's always nice to check in with Diana Pakulski. And Diana and partner have created a kind of a PR agency and an advocacy agency. And I haven't talked to her since last year when I saw that she had Jepson and Pakulski. So we'll let Diana tell you about that as well. We're going to talk to Horseman Don Stevens. And, midweek, tomorrow, Delta Downs with the premier card. So I thought we'd get Don back. We talked to him before the season started at Delta. And of course, they're running afternoons after the hurricane damage. And so tomorrow, midweek, you've got a 12:55 first post for a whole bunch of starter and then the Louisiana bred premier day leading up to the championship, which got a nice group, 125,000, and then another half dozen $100,000 stakes, each, 3-year-old boys and girls, long and short, and good opportunity to check in with Don. Andy Serling, of course, as well, and talk to Andy about the weekend in New York, and also, of course, the cross country had, the Tampa Stakes, so we'll get some thoughts from Andy on that topic. Before we get to Peter Urton, who'll join us in just a couple of minutes, speaking in California, I don't know if you saw that a successor to Dr. Arthur was named yesterday. Dr. Jeff Blay is going to become the equine medical director, and that was well received. Of course, Dr. Arthur, gosh, I don't remember anybody other than Dr. Arthur as the, as the medical officer for the CHRB and for California. So I did see lots of people thrilled to see Dr. Blaine named. And speaking also of West Coast, late yesterday, I saw Steve Anderson, and I commented on it last night, Steve Anderson with the story about a Wild West bonus. This is terrific. And Santa Anita and Del Mar teaming up for a $1 million bonus, which ties the, the standard classic distance handicap races, the Big Cap, the Hollywood Gold Cup, and the Pacific Classic. And, these concepts are great. It absolutely terrific. And there's so many that could be created, really. There's, and I just top of my head answering a question this morning on Twitter. There goes my phone. the opportunity to do things like the Summer Triple Crown, the Haskell, the Travers, and the Pennsylvania Derby. I mentioned how about tying together the Del Cap, the Molly Pitcher, and the Personal Ensign. The three-year-old sprint division, you could tie together the Alan Jerkins, the Gallant Bob, and what's the Monmouth? Is it the Mr. Prospector? There's a three-year-old. I think there's a three-year-old sprint stake. Anyway, I mean, there's three-year-old sprint stakes, not hard to find. There's a lot of continuity, and the Triple Tierra, and the old handicap Triple Crown, the suburban Brooklyn. The options out there for this can be crafted, and of course it'll also, I imagine maybe when Steve Haskin on Thursday we can bring it up with Steve, program, the American Racing Series that Barry Weisbord championed and had a had some real interest and seemed to work. And of course it looks like I'm sure you're going to hear this any day, the Match Series, which is more of a, not that people have to participate in every single race in a in a series, but the Match Series fits that bill. I think they're going to be hard pressed because of COVID issues to do it again this year. So it may have another year of pause, but I love these concepts, and it would. It would obviously offer $1 million bonus to the owners if you could sweep the Big Cap, the Gold Cup, and the Pack Classic. Very cool. More of these things. it's a winner. And, there's also been, the kind of the bonus, you can score points too, you could also give, if nobody sweeps, you could give the horse that, 10-5-3, 10-5-1, whatever the system you could create, scoring system to, even if it's a $50,000, 50, 25, 10. It's nice. It's something. If you, that's one of the things that's lacking, ever since that Visa Triple Crown bonus went away. It takes some phone calls and some creativity and a couple of sponsors and get to it. So I thought that was cool. We'll see, and I can see that it provoked a lot of conversation. And one more West Coast topic as well: the Breeders' Cup. Drew Fleming with a statement yesterday. You may have seen a press release. They're kind of holding off on the ticket distribution details a little bit, and certainly it's, what are we in? We're in February, so we got some time. For this, but obviously people like to make their their arrangements as quickly as possible. November 5th and 6th, if you didn't have the dates in your system, but Here's a Drew Fleming, until we have clarity on the ever-changing landscape, they will not start ticket sales. So Just hang in. The details will come soon enough. And Peter Ertin will join us here soon enough as well. And as we wait for Peter, I'll mention from yesterday on the Aqueduct results front, yesterday's racing, and that that Ruthless, as Nick talked about, had, you know, scratched down. But still, watching Miss Brazil, this is a real filly. She's nice for Team D, Tony Dutrow. And in fact, I didn't look up to see what you know, what kind of number. And obviously, she was going to have a 79 buyer, you know. But she was in control pretty much every step. I mean, when she broke her maiden back in November, 93. So she's capable of going faster if need be. Miss Brazil, Palace Malice, bred by Haymarket, and we'll see, start to look toward, you know, bigger and better and more points. And I'm sure, you know, 7 furlong under the belt, and Tony will move along. Well, maybe we'll get to Tony and see what the thought is. But she's obviously a quality filly. A couple of things. Nick, that excess capacity, right? Excess capacity and Mo Desserts in the middle of that card. That Mo Desserts was a nice effort. The one ran off and won by a dozen lengths. A Nyquist filly. Late night stables. And, you know, as Nick said, it was either, you know, seemed like it was either going to be her or Oh Gotten Girl. And Mo Desserts really didn't allow for any other options, just ran off. And speaking of which, speaking of fillies running off, Lady Mystify on Friday by 18, Peter Ertin joins us. And Peter, I know everybody's excited about Dream Shake, but you had a pretty nice maiden winner with the filly on Friday.
Yes, she surprised us all. It was quite an effort. Thank you.
Well, and the same team. I mean, what a nice weekend for the group.
Well, I just have to give kudos to Rhett Farrell. She's just got an amazing eye. She's done so well for these people, you know, just over and over. Sign Expectations, Storm the Court. I mean, there's been others way before that. She's just an amazing talent.
You know, it's funny to start with her because – I'd heard the name, and until Zoe Cadman referenced her on Twitter after Dream Shake's win, I went and, you know, found her on Twitter and followed, and I thought that it would be nice to hear more about her, you know, about the backstory on I guess both of these horses.
Well, she's got an amazing team with Zoe and Tesha. They just work so well together. They've just been together for so long, and they all have so many years of experience behind them. And it's just awesome to have them finding horses for Ryan and Justin on the Exxon Border Team.
What's her background?
You know, I don't know a lot. I know she's just been around for so long. I would hate to say something that I'm not sure of. You know, I believe, I don't even want to say exactly where she's from because I'll probably get that wrong, but I've known her for a good some 10 years now, and she seems like she's the best kept secret. But she's not really amongst the guys that know how good she is. She's everybody pretty much knows. In that small circle we are in, how good she actually is.
Well, I'm gonna make an effort, and we're talking about Mariette Farrell, who clearly bought both of these. And let's start with Sunday, and then we'll also talk about the filly. And Peter, it has to be a little not I don't want to say deflating or demoralizing, but going into a race like this, you know, where there seemingly were a lot of heavy heads. I mean, that and Bezos was the one that everybody was talking about, pretty much by virtue of his inclusion in the future wager. But there were other horses, as Jay Pribman discussed on Friday previewing the race, and that included, you know, included yours. And certainly Andy Harrington made no bones about how nice this horse looks. He said a grand looker, and he was the only horse that had a pair of B pluses from Andy. So he obviously had impressed. I understand Gary Young was equally impressed with him. Talk about Dream Shake coming into Sunday.
Well, Dream Shake has never done anything wrong as far back as 2 months when he was getting into his first half. And he's always been had a great character about him, a very calm horse, but a horse that's done things easy. I mean, we've never actually let him run, just always worked in company and just did what he had to do. And he got fit by process of so many works into him that aren't really shown because we go back so far, but never had really pushed him more than what he had to do. So we kind of figured he may need to race against a field like this, but we've always had some good hope for him. We knew he wasn't quick, but his first two steps, but after that, he's always just jumped into the bridle and done things the way he's had to do. I needed a little bit of blinker on him after he seemed like he gets intimidated somewhat inside, but that sure enough was rectified with the blinkers on him. And you know, I just can't say enough good things about him, his physicality, his mind, and just a privilege to have him in my barn.
Unbelievable. $75,000 as an OBS April purchase last year, and I didn't go back and look up the drill, but you know, it's funny. He's by Twirling Candy and out of a Street Crime mare, so certainly the synthetic, you know, getting over the synthetic probably was okay for him too, with that makeup. And as you say, I mean, just this long string of works with nothing, you know, particularly glaring. I mean, no 58 and change kind of thing.
Those gallop outs were, he never seemed to get tired. He always had plenty to go out, and a lot of those works you see, the three quarters, he'd go out in 13 or 12 and change and finish strong and gallop out 7/8 and 26, but he never seemed to fatigue on you. You know, not all the works I thought you saw out of the gate, for instance, and where a horse were the last part of it, he'd be by himself, and he's not going to be the kind of horse that's going to go work off the chart by himself. He just won't do that. Which you got to love. Love a horse that does what he has to do and not what he wants to do all the time. And that's something that you can't train into him sometimes.
Well, this, you know, there's really a lot going on here. I'll probably bring this up with Sid Fernando tomorrow when we look at the pedigree. And this is a big Pin Oak family. Because I see that the dam herself, Evensong, was out of brownie points. And certainly remember brownie points, Donnie Kay and Pin Oak, and this is, and the dam actually is a sib of Synchrony and all those nice all those Chocolate Kisses and that whole family. So this was a, you know, there were some things there, even though the mare has really not, you know, she's had two before this Twirling Candy colt, and you know, just a modest horse that won once, and the other one is 0-3. So clearly, this was a clever purchase. When you see him win like that, and you heard obviously midday yesterday that the figure came back the way it did, a 96. You know, what does it portend going forward?
Well, I take the figures with a grain of salt. I mean, you can look at the eBay's number is quite low. You look at the buyer is very high. I mean, rag numbers, they're numbers I use a lot. But again, I'll take them with a grain of salt because it just doesn't doesn't mean everything, you know, but the way he did it was what meant the most to me.
No, no doubt. I think it left everybody kind of agog. You know, afterward, it's interesting, too. You said, you know, Ron Anderson managed to find his way to this horse. Talk about getting Joel to ride.
Yeah. Well, I got fortunate enough to get him. I believe he worked him once for me. It wasn't nothing brilliant. It was just a very easy 5/8 and company and 101, something of that nature. Joel liked him. Asked his agents if he wanted to ride him. He said, "Oh, give me a few days." He had to check around. And it just so happened that he didn't have anything. And it just worked out well for us and him also.
Well,
you know, so
yeah.
Whether he stays with him is another story. I know he's got a pretty nice colt and Bob's horse. I think he won with, didn't he, the other day? I can't, his name evades me, but... So he'll have to make some decisions, obviously, but maybe we'll avoid each other. Can you think of the horse's name? I just can't think of his name offhand.
In the stake?
If anyone would send a sente on a horse of Baffert's.
Concert tour. You mean just on Saturday?
There you go. Okay. There you go. There you go. Concert tour, yeah. So
I wasn't sure if you meant, because Medina... Sadio was on Medina the week before.
Yes. Who ran second also the month before that to Bob's other talented individual.
Exactly.
So he's pretty well stocked even without Bezos.
Well, here you are though with this. Or how quickly do you stretch him out, and how quickly do you look at a stake spot?
Well, for me, I think he should stay here and prove himself, go two turns his next start, whether it be in a stake or whether it be in a first condition allowance race. I would love to stretch him out next time. I think he needs the experience. I don't think he needs to travel right now because he needs to prove himself still. So, my hope after we get together with everybody and decide whether it's in 4 weeks in San Felipe or whether there's a first condition allowance race. I mean, for me, either way is fine. I just want to get two turns into them.
Well, we'll watch and see how the condition book unfolds, and he'll go back to the track tomorrow?
Yeah, probably. He looked great yesterday. He's off again today. I could give him a third day, but we'll just have to see. He gets pretty high, as usual. He goes with the pony every day, but he can get a little frisky.
I was going to ask what kind of a colt he was to be around.
He is really neat to be around. He's not over nervous at all. He gets, like I say, he doesn't do enough. Sometimes he can get a little fresh. Rear up a little bit occasionally, but he's really nice to be around. He'll backtrack, he'll gallop, he won't run off. He does things, without no other purpose than just in seemingly enjoying himself out there.
Well, it's very exciting debut, and beat good ones. This whole race is going to end up. We're going to see a parade of winners out of this race at various distances, and this is going to be a memorable race when we look back later in the year.
Yeah.
When it comes to Lady Mystify, and I'm just looking at the chart, and I know immediately that I see that mare Jay Quirk was a horse of Leap of Coit that I remember in the East, and I guess the Dilworths must have bought her at a sale. I don't know if this was the baby that was potentially with Jay Quirk, but talk about Lady Mystify and how she came out and what's ahead for her. This was a mile race already.
Yeah, well, Lady Mystify, I mean, she's got, what's her third start. She's always been a very precocious filly, a very confident filly. Puts a very athletic filly that, according to Lavian, has an amazing cruising speed. You know, she, after his first time on her, which was her second start, because he didn't ride her at La Salle, he pretty much said we need to go further with her. So we entered her in the 7/8 for her third start. It didn't, it only had two horses, and they had the mile, had three, and it was the same day of entry, so we saw no reason not to try the mile and go the mile with her. I'm not a big filly, you know, I would say she's just shy of 16, you know, a bit over 1,000 pounds, but just all talent there. She's so well bred, top and bottom, as you said. But once she got on the lead, he used her pretty good leaving there because I think he wanted to take control of the race. 22 and change, I think they went the first quarter. And then she just said she was an amazing cruising speed. Pretty much locked her up down the lane, but I think she could have run, you know, a bit quicker than that. Didn't get a big number.
No.
But, again, I don't live and die by numbers. She did it pretty comfortably.
And she had already, you know, in that three quarters try at the beginning of January, she had run a 74. So there's obviously plenty in the tank, and she's absolutely going to excel as you stretch things out. And I suppose it'd be pretty irresistible. I mean, you know, you get these 3-year-olds, Peter. You have to give them auditions on the, you know, on the stakes trail.
Yeah. Yeah, well, her situation, she's run three races in a row, hasn't missed, I mean, they were pretty close together, all three of them. Obviously, you want to see her go to the Oaks, but there's so much yet to do. But if I don't have a space in between the races, she'll end up going, if I run her next month, San Ynez, that's a fourth race in a row. And then where do you go? You have to go get some points, right?
Yeah,
Bill, because it's a grade three, if I'm not mistaken. So then you either stay here or you go somewhere else. So it's still some decisions to be made on where she runs next. And if it is right back for me, I wouldn't mind shipping to the Ashland and her next start. But then that's a lot to talk about still, you know, a long ways away.
Well, the nice thing is, you know, as the year started, you were hitting the board more often than you like. So these two wins kind of jumpstart the season a little bit. And on that topic, let's talk about a couple of other, you know, stable stars. And in fact, Storm the Court, I see, worked yesterday. You tried the Pegasus, and you know, the turf has become, you know, kind of the avenue, it seems, that you've struck on. Talk about coming out of the try in Florida and where you are with Storm the Court.
Well, he came out of that race very good. Lots of energy, good weight. So we just kind of came along with him slowly here and galloped him a bit and just let him kind of stretch his legs yesterday, about as slow as we could get him to go yesterday. It was 48-1. So his energy's still there. No race really suggested other than, you know, we'll nominate him to both grass and dirt races coming up in the near future. But there's no hurry for, you know, to throw him back into a race. We figured the Pegasus, the turf could have been a little bit loose for him. Could maybe it was just too far for him, or the talent level was tough. There's just so many things to say, you know. But he does like grass, and he does like dirt. So we're just going to try and be patient and see what happens.
Nice. Well, you know, he's been when you have to tinker with a horse like this, when you know you were hopeful of a certain direction, you know, what's the thought process, Peter? Exactly, you know, after it I don't want to say things went awry, but you know, as the 3-year-old season unfolded, it didn't materialize, I'm sure, the way everybody was hoping.
No, it didn't. It didn't work out just the way we wanted. Sam Vicente was a beginning point for his 3-year-old career, and he ran a good fourth, and then the third, and the races just started piling up to where he could have won one or two of them. I mean, the Ohio Derby, he had a horrible trip, ran way wide and ran a big number, still did not win. He did not ship into Arkansas very well. He got washed out really bad and didn't fire a race whatsoever. So, you know, I think it's a lot of learning. He's grown up considerably. He's starting to get his confidence, but he's still yet to win. But, you know, if you look back, he's still one of the best horses at that time that were around, you know. And he's done more than anybody else that was around the time, but still not a win. So we're still going to try to get that elusive win, hopefully sooner than later. But he is very healthy, I must say that, and he looks great. And he's not really going to turn forward until May. So he's done all this at a very young, still immature horse. So we're still very happy to have him in the barn.
Well, we'll watch for Storm the Court, and there's an elusive next win out there for him, undoubtedly. I got to ask you about a couple of other recent performers, even back to the beginning of the meet. And there's a 4-year-old. The success you had with Dream Shake and being a twirling candy, you got a 4-year-old twirling candy that is obviously talented, and you know I'm talking about Exalted. And I see that he was entered for Friday.
Yeah, it's a frustrating thing to have to put him against winners, but is it at this time of the year when the 4-year-olds and up are far and few between, the maiden races haven't been filling for him. So I think they're going to start putting the 3-year-olds in there with the older horses, because for all intents and purposes, there aren't that many 4-year-old maiden specials. We put him in the first condition allowance race.
Yeah.
And he drew the one hole, unfortunately, but he's got enough speed to be up close, and hopefully we can get his maiden victory in a winner's race.
He
is talented, though. He's been training very, very well. And this will be his second start. His first start came back against Mastering, who came back and won again. So he's been running against some talented horses, and he just needs to put everything together. He's a big, large horse, and it just seems like he's getting a lot more solid of late.
Well, you mentioned Mastering, and wasn't he second to Nadal? Nadal's win? In Nadal's win? Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah. And that was sprinting also.
Yeah. He has had he's had some buzzsaws that he ran. And also, now I'm just looking at that second start, he ran into Kiss Today Goodbye and Divine Armor. So he's really run into some nice horses in his 3 starts.
Yes, he has. So I'm glad to get him back in finally. It's been a little while since his last race. We're all kind of excited about it. So it's going to have a horse of American Theorem is in there. Coming back off of Vallejo, he looks like he's been training well, and a few others in there that aren't going to be waiting around. So it'll be interesting to see how this race goes.
A couple of personal favorites. Royal Act, what's up with him?
Royal Act, I wasn't really pleased with where he was early in the race. I didn't want to see him on the lead. I would have preferred Clichia go up there instead of his pace where he likes to be, and And I think the one or the two hole kind of caused my rider to kind of use him a little more than we wanted to. And next thing you know, he's we have four abreast by the time we hit the 5/8 hole on the backside. It's not a place where I really wanted to see Royal act. He's been training very good. Would have preferred him to settle in the third or fourth and kind of get outside and make his run like he did at Los Alamitos and like he's done last year when he runs second to 1,000 words. He's not a horse that's going to run the whole race like that. He's somewhat lazy, and I think if you ask him to run the whole race, he's going to, you know, maybe back out when it comes to when you really need him to dig in. So we'll have to think about what we do with him next time, but I think the post position caused us to use him too much early. But I still have a lot of hope for Royal Act. I just think he needs the right trip.
Well, and also, before we let you go, Peter, I do want to ask you about the nice stakes-placed Carpe Diem filly that's got to be getting close to her three-year-old debut, that Carpe Fortuna. I got to ask, because Gary and Billy will, you know, and partners, will, they're hanging on this little red feather filly.
Well, she got a little viral last month, and it cost a little bit. But yeah, she's back, as you see on the work tab. She went 5 yesterday, yep, and went a half the week before. So we're either going to look for a first condition race, or there's a possibility of a stake in first week of March. So we have her penciled in. She's doing very well, by the way.
Nice. Well, and she, at the end of the year, she placed in the Blue Norther. So she's something to look forward to for her. And how many more 3-year-old debuters are lurking in the barn?
We still have a few. I've got the Constitution filly hasn't run yet, who I truly like. Very classy filly. CRK, she's a lovely, big, good-looking filly who's got a mind.
What's her name?
You got a love, Lady Aces.
Lady Aces?
Yeah, she's still a little ways away. I don't know how good she is just yet. Never really. But there's things that I do like about her. I like her mind and the way she does things. So there's an outwork filly we have. A very precocious, tall, long filly with a lot of speed, except that she's got to learn to run when we want her to run, but she's very aggressive. She's up to a couple halves, so she could be okay.
What's her name?
Her name is Sharapova.
Sharapova?
Mm-hmm. After,
yeah,
obviously the attendance star.
Yeah.
Big, long, tall filly, I think, is why they named her that. But there's a few others that aren't really. I think Harlan the State could be, once he gets going back to two turns, I think he's on a good fourth the other day sprinting. He's a nice three-year-old colt. So always got some hopes and dreams here.
Well, you certainly come off of a productive weekend with the two maiden breakers for X-Line Border and Partners, whether you like the filly on Friday, Lady Mystify, or Dream Shake, who got people excited on Sunday. Peter, I really appreciate it, and glad we caught up on some of the other established players in the barn, and obviously more yet with some upside. And I certainly hope I get to see you this winter, but I know we'll talk soon.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Steve. It's always a good thing. It means things are going well when you call me. So,
there you go, right?
I love it.
You too. Peter Ertin, everybody. And you can follow Peter Ertin Racing, UERTON. Racing. Let's take a break here, and since we're close enough to the top of the hour, I want to slip Rich Averill in before the sale activity. I'm sure he's at the barn and watching people take a look at Ladies Island as she gets ready to leave the team, the Matisse Racing, and Rich Averill and everybody that has had so much fun with her. Rich Averill next. Then we're going to have that conversation. Tough topic, a bit straight out, but the slaughter legislation in New York, and Diana Pakulski is going to join us here in New York, as well as, although I think she lives actually just across the border. I think she's right over the border in Vermont. And Chris Hyde, the lobbyist from D.C., and he'll talk about the national effort to make it impossible to transport horses for slaughter. And later, Andy Serling, Don Stevens, too, Horseman Don. Back after this, though, hour two at the races coming up. Rich Averill joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
A great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 384643.
Sirius XM Sports presents